plus two. South Side, Outpost, New Kerguelen. If a picture was worth a thousand words, there were scarcely enough words in the world to do justice to the scale and content of the information that entered Dan's mind as he gazed at the apparently blank space where an alien transcript had been placed. Dan could have sat down for hours to pass on every detail that had come to him in the most remarkable few seconds of his life, and he expected to do so as soon as he got home. This would be no comfortable exercise, since the truth he had just learned made him feel sick to the pit of his stomach. The Great Shelter was a cage, built by the giant visitors who had spent the intervening millennia maintaining the illusion among the messengers that their own planet's external world was murderously inhospitable. Billy held a fist to his mouth while he puffed out his cheeks, feeling similarly fit to vomit. He had all but known that the Third Race had constructed the shelters and given the messengers technology they believed to have come from their own forefathers, but being proven right like this was far worse than being proven wrong. The level of deceit at play here was beyond anything he could even comprehend, and unlike Dan, he had looked away around half a second too soon to pick up on the even more devious motivation. For Dan, who had managed to hold on longer than Billy but still not long enough to see everything, the reason was only too clear as to why the Great Shelter's creators had stayed on New Kerguelen and built the radio-like machines they tricked the messengers into viewing as godly elders. He would fill Billy in on the parts he had missed in a few minutes. It was all imprinted in his mind, never to be forgotten, much less so quickly. But immediately after breaking his connection with the transcript, Dan focused on Sacco, who was learning all of this for the first time. Leisha's dejection suddenly made all the sense in the world, since he had ventured into the outpost first and had evidently garnered this troubling knowledge in the very short time he stayed, and the relatively optimistic excitement Sacco had displayed when examining the box full of uplift devices was sure to be replaced by a similar level of despondency any moment now. "What did you see?" Billy asked, using understandable verbiage given that it had felt more like they were seeing mental images than any other sensory description they could lean on. Dan inhaled deeply. He assumed Billy had been inundated with exactly the same information as he had, at least while Billy was looking, but there was no way he could ever describe it succinctly. There was simply too much. "It's a cage," he said, starting with the main thing. Billy nodded weakly and blinked tightly, as though fighting off a tear. "Same." Beyond this, Dan couldn't be sure how much context Billy had gained. He knew that the shelter's architects had heinously confined the messengers to an unnecessary shelter, not so they could plunder resources from the surface of New Kerguelen, but rather so they could exert total control over the native population's development. Whether this was part of a sick experiment, perhaps with other shelters elsewhere on the surface housing groups subject to differing stimuli, Dan could only speculate. He was heavily tempted to look again at the transcript and would endeavor to do so before he left, but right now his mind and somehow his eyes felt too exhausted for another round. For thousands of years, the radios the messengers trusted as godlike elders had been used by another race to clip their wings and push them down a very narrow developmental path, with critical thinking and indeed all individual thought eliminated as far as possible, and a caste-based system of societal organization created to ensure the strictest possible self-regimentation. The learned helplessness and total dependence that blighted the seemingly intelligent messengers when a problem with their shelter first presented itself, which had surprised Dan at the time, was now easy to understand. The worst of it all was that this helplessness had not been learned, and this dependence internalized by accident, or even incidentally, but had rather been a clear and specific goal of the puppet masters all along. The instinctively kind-hearted and clearly intelligent messengers had incongruously poor abstract reasoning abilities through no fault of their own, Dan now realized. It was all by design. Dan had often spoken of the messengers as being no better than humans and not necessarily any more intelligent, but simply having happened to develop better technology. But even now that he knew the technology at their fingertips, quite literally, in the case of the uplift, wasn't actually theirs, Dan wouldn't for a second presume to think that the messengers were necessarily any less intelligent than humans, and certainly no less good. For, despite enduring a concerted and relentless campaign of absolute disinformation, and despite having lived their whole lives as the subjects of some demented third race's observational exercise, Leisha and Sacco were good. Free from the restrictive orders of his elders, Leisha had saved Clark's life in Buenos Aires. Free from the restrictive orders of his elders, Sacco had gladly given Dan a device he promised would be capable of curing Piper's affliction. Free from the restrictive orders of their elders, both of them were beings Dan was proud to call his friends. Their technology was no gift, it was a curse. The ball and chain that had constrained their development and instilled baseless fears about the outside world they had once walked without problems. "It's like if you have a prisoner in a cell," Billy mused, "and a speaker system on the ceiling is the only contact he has with the outside. He knows what's going on because he remembers the outside. But if you somehow raise a baby alone in that environment, it's going to grow up thinking the speaker is its god. It doesn't know voices can be broadcast through a speaker because it learned everything it knows from that speaker and the person on the other side left certain parts out. That's what these guys have been dealing with their whole lives. Their entire worldview is built on a complete lie." "Pretty much," Dan sighed weakly, still trying to process everything. "So what was the very last part you saw? Or not saw, but, well, you know what I mean. Did you get the context of why they did this?"
"Well, I got the context of why the transcript is here," Billy said.
This had been the very first piece of information Dan picked up. The transcript, invisible to human eyes and only effective with the necessary uplift in place, was there for the benefit of future arrivals to the outpost. It relayed the basics that any future observers or communicators had to understand to perform their duties, but much of what had come to Dan next rendered it redundant. He now knew that the giant aliens had been absent from New Kerguelen for a long time, ever since successful remote tests confirmed that the messengers could be controlled just as effectively from radios based an untold distance away on the giant's home world than they could be from those in the outpost. The transcript was present in the outpost in case it was ever necessary for the giants to return and in case communication with their own home world was impossible. Thus, the transcript served as a kind of primer, providing all of the core knowledge needed to keep the messengers on the straight and narrow. Clearly, the giants had not feared the possibility of any messengers stumbling upon this information, so confident were they in their work of instilling a deathly fear of the outside world. Leisha and Sacco, uplifted enough to interpret these transcripts and even to teleport directly to the inside of the outpost, had been raised and controlled by lies so effective that they never dared to fully utilize the powers available to them. Like baby circus elephants taught to stand on the spot or endure the harsh punishment that came with moving away, who grew up to continue obeying abusive owners they could effortlessly overpower at any moment, Leisha and Sacco had been conditioned to fear hollow consequences. The surface of New Kerguelen was perfectly habitable, as it was before the giant race's arrival and as it had been ever since, and it had been kept from them for their entire lives. "Did you hear the part about streaming the messengers into castes from a young age so none of them ever grew up to be mavericks or to question the world around them?" Dan asked. "Assigning set roles so everyone was kept busy with their limited duties?" Before Billy could reply, the saddest sounding vocalization either he or Dan had ever heard from the messengers came weakly from Sacco.
"Leisha, Brule Santolo."
Dan looked and saw that the messengers were now facing each other, engaging in a silent, grief-stricken conversation, but understandably excluding him from listening in. 10 or 15 slow seconds later, they turned to face Dan. As he expected, Sacco's expression mirrored Leisha's, with the shock and shame of being so completely duped for so long, leaving no room for anger. Dan knew this kind of feeling well from his own experience of the IDA hoax a few years earlier, but that was nothing compared to this. "I'm so sorry for you guys," he said, not having to exaggerate his own sadness one iota. Sacco closed his eyes.
I can hardly bear to look at the second transcript. Soon, Leisha said. But this is...
Dan nodded. Part of him wanted to step forward and give them a supportive hug, but he didn't know how it would be received and certainly didn't want to risk upsetting them when they were already in such understandably desolate moods.
The architects built the machines, Sacco lamented, almost spitting out each of the new words. The architects lied to us eternally through the machines.
The significant change in vocabulary was unmissable, with the messengers clearly having adopted two distinct words to cover two distinct entities that used to be covered by the catch-all term elders. On Earth, people had long used cumbersome qualifiers to get around this linguistic ambiguity, saying things like, the machines the messengers see as their elders. It had understandably been assumed that those so-called elders had been created by the messengers' true elders in the form of their literal forefathers, members of their species who had lived long ago. Those understandings were now in tatters, and the presence of clearer new language did nothing to alleviate how bad Dan felt for the messengers.
At least I know what name to curse, he lamented, mentally switching from the overly generic giants to the architects Sacco spoke of.
It was certainly a suitable name, given that they had designed not only the great shelter, but also the plethora of lies that had kept the messengers locked within it for so long. There were still countless questions in Dan's mind, like whether the architects had actually built the shelter or merely instructed the messengers on how to do so, and equally intriguingly, whether the machines were built inside the shelter or if the shelter was built around the machines. This was a chicken and egg scenario at the moment, but while Dan wasn't sure how pertinent the answer would be, he still couldn't help but ponder.
Oh, shit, Billy uttered to cut off this thought, his voice breathy and low. Dan, I just looked at the second transcript.
What about it? Dan asked.
It explains why the architects did all of this. Why they built the shelter, why they controlled the messenger's development, why they streamed them into castes like the interpreters and the squadron. They presented themselves as gods via the elders, but they weren't shaping the messengers in their own image. They were shaping them into a useful image.
Dan glanced at the messengers and saw that their eyes, too, were now trained on this second transcript. Leisha and Sacco were clearly too focused on it to read Billy's thoughts any further at that moment, preferring to get their own first-hand account, but whatever knowledge he had just gleaned was about to be theirs.
They've been using the messengers as a buffer, Billy revealed as he began to slowly back away from Leisha and Sacco.
A buffer? Dan echoed in confusion.
Against what?
Billy gulped and continued to back away, speaking just one more word as he went.
Us.